The following is a Christians for Messiah Ministries production. Our mandate is to teach God's Word, train God's people, and release God's favor. At the close of this teaching, please continue listening as we give you important information about Christians for Messiah Ministries. We now invite you to listen to a powerful message by Dr. Peter Wins. This message is entitled, The Elijah Journey.
I want to speak to you today a life message. This message will be with some of you all the days of your life. What I'm going to share with you today, I call the Elijah Journey. And not everybody will take this journey, but everybody can take this journey. This is a journey of the call of God for your life. It's a journey into the purposes of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm not speaking to you today about your health, or about your job, or about your marriage, or about your children, or about politics. I'm speaking to you today about the call of God on your life. And nothing is more important from heaven's perspective than this. It's more important than all of those other things that are very good and important that I just mentioned to you. Today, I'm talking about you and the Lord and what He wants to do in your life. Would you open your Bibles with me to 2 Kings chapter 2? I'm going to take the time to read the entire chapter, and I hope that you can follow with me in your Bibles. 2 Kings chapter 2, the message is called The Elijah Journey. Starting at the first verse of 2 Kings 2. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way to Gilgal, or on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives, and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elisha replied. "Do not speak of it." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here in Bethel." "Elisha, the Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and you live, I will not leave you." So they went to Jericho. The company of the prophets at Jericho went to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," he replied, "but do not speak of it." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives, and as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walked on. 50 men of the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it, and the water divided to the right and to the left. And the two of them crossed over on dry land. When they crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you? Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha said. "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours, otherwise not." As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, "My father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them apart. He picked up the cloak that had fallen from Elijah. And he went back and stood on the brink of the Jordan. Then he took the cloak and that had fallen from him and struck the water with it. "Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" he asked. When he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. The company of the prophets from Jericho who were watching said, "The spirit of Elijah is resting on Elisha." And they went to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. "Look," they said, "we are your servants. Have 50, and we have 50 able men. Let them go and look for your master. Perhaps the Spirit of the Lord has picked him up and set him down on some mountain or in some valley." "No," Elisha replied, "do not send them." But they persisted until he was too ashamed to refuse. So he said, "Send them." And they sent 50 men who searched for 3 days but did not find him. When they returned to Elisha, who was staying in Jericho, he said to them, "Didn't I tell you not to go?" The men of the city then said to Elisha, "Look, our Lord, this town is well situated, as you can see, but the water is bad and the land is unproductive." He said, "Bring me a new bowl." And he put salt in it, and they brought it to him. Then he went out to the spring and threw the salt into the spring, saying, "This is what the Lord says. I have healed this water. Never again will it cause death or make the land unproductive. And the water has remained wholesome to this day, according to the word Elisha had spoken." From there, Elisha went up to Bethel. As he was walking along the road, some youths came out of the town and jeered or mocked at him. "Go on up, you bald head," they said. "Go on up, you bald head." He turned around, looked at them, and called down a curse on them in the name of the Lord. Then two bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the youths. And he went on to Mount Carmel, and from there returned to Samaria. Lord, we thank you for your power, for your Holy Spirit, and for the call of God on our lives. I ask now for a special hearing in our ears. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you'd get a hold of us so that we'll not be for sale anymore, that we'll not go after any other thing anymore, that we'll not focus the depths of our attention on misguided ventures anymore. But Lord, we'll be focused on you and that which we have been made for. And now I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would take this word and allow faith to move through it, that it might bring change and success to the purposes of God in our lives. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm talking to you today about history, about you supernaturally making history. Your life is made for this. You were made to make history in your family, to make history in your community, perhaps to make history in your church, perhaps to make history in this nation, maybe even to make history in this world. I'm talking about a supernatural partnership with God so that you come into God's agenda, the mandate of heaven for your life, and because of it, God uses you to make history. Do you know that God is the history maker? All of history is his plan. The inevitable end of everything that happens on the planet will wind up serving the purposes of the Lord God Almighty. But he doesn't do any of it single-handedly. He does it with the help of people and angels. And today, this is a word of God for you. I want to take you by the hand and help you learn how to be a history maker with the supernatural call of God on your life. There might not have been a more important message that you have ever heard before this one. But I trust that this will go like a brand, like a firebrand into your spirit today, and you will go after this thing until you take the Elijah journey. Now, Elijah is the most famous and powerful of all the prophets of Israel. He's the one who had the most miracles and the most anointing. He's the one who saw miracles come of all sorts, including raising people from the dead. He's the one who stood against the prophets of Baal and Asherah and called down fire from heaven and destroyed the prophets of Baal. He's the one who turned the nation of Israel back to God. And he's the one who was caught up in a fiery chariot, led by a fiery horse and a fiery angelic horseman called the Chariot of Israel. But he comes from this town called Tishbe. He is called Elijah the Tishbite. And Tishbe is a little town in Gilead, just on the eastern side of the Jordan, perhaps 50 to 60 miles from Jerusalem. That's where he was born. We don't hear anything about his childhood, anything about his hometown, anything about his upbringing, until he comes on the scene as the prophet of the Lord. And Elijah the Tishbite comes out of obscurity. I want to tell you that if you are going to take the Elijah journey, you have to come out of obscurity. You've got to come out of a private, secret place. You cannot find the call of God for your life in the company of the prophets. You might want to hang around the company of the prophets. They may encourage you. They may be a blessing to you, but you will not find who you are from the company of the prophets. There's only one place that you can find out who you are and what you are called to do, and that is in this private place, in the secret place of obscurity. And that's the first thing I want to say to you. You have to find the secret place. It's a secret place where God whispers. God's not going to shout at you, but he will whisper to you. If you want to take this journey like Elijah took, you will fight battles all by yourself. You will go up on Mount Carmel and you will call down fire from heaven. You will go from one place to another place, traveling in the spirit in obscurity. You will be down by the brook being fed by ravens and thinking that nobody is with you. You will be hidden in a cave where the voice of the Lord will whisper your name. This is your journey. The first step to taking the Elijah journey is to find the private, secret place. You cannot find the purpose of God for your life except in this private place. You know what happened? The time came when Elijah was about to make transition, and the Lord said, go and appoint another prophet in your place. And he went to a farm, and there on the farm was a man named Elijah. And he was organizing and running the plowing of 12 sets of oxen. And he was the administrator of the farm. But something was going on in his life besides the domestic things, besides the business things, besides the family things. He had a secret life. I want to know if you've got a secret life. There was something percolating inside of him that had never been poured yet. Like the coffee that is brewing on the counter. It's waiting to be poured, but right now it's just brewing. There's many of you in this place who are in that position. You're on the farm. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing responsibly, But God is whispering to you, and you're feeling a percolating in your spirit, and you're not sure what it all means. And Elijah comes to Elisha, and he just throws his coat over him and walks away. And that's all that Elisha needed. And he said, hold on. I'll come with you. He felt the anointing of the Lord on his life immediately. He started to focus. Let me encourage you. When you are young, you may have a lot of talents. You may have a lot of gifting. You may have a lot of charisma. And you can be a Jack or a Jane of all trades. And that's okay in the early days. But now God is calling you to focus. You have to focus on that which God has for you to do. It's a second life. Besides all of the care of a family and jobs and all that is in the outer world, this is something in the spirit that you are called to focus on. If he had said, well, that's very nice. I think I'll go to a few more conferences where Elijah is preaching and maybe I can get more anointing. Then you will just be joining the company of the prophets. But there is something in your life that you have to start focusing on. It may not be following a man. In Elijah's case, there was no man to follow. He was Elijah the Tishbite. He had his own journey in obscurity in Gilead before he had somebody to follow. But now the Lord has brought him along, and Elisha has to follow this man and become his disciple. I don't know what the focus is for you, but God will show you. If you press into him, if you take this journey, he will start to show you the things that you're doing in your life that are peripheral, that are not that important. When I started a church, the first church that I planted while I was a pastor of, I was 19 years of age, and I was a full-time senior pastor. And at that time, I led the singing, I received the offering, I did the ushering, I helped with the Sunday school, I did all of the visitation, I prayed for everybody, baptized babies, buried the dead, married those who need marrying, and did everything, and I was a jack of all trades. I was so glad when other people started to come into the church and I could give some jobs away. But this is about your life now. Just because you can do it doesn't mean you should do it. Just because you can plow with 12 oxen. This is not about your talents. Some of you are caught up with your talents, and you think that the talent is the call of God on your life, but that's a secondary thing. You don't know the call of God on your life yet. And so Elisha starts to follow Elijah. The chapter before this, we find that Ahab had died. And the king of Israel, he was in Samaria and he had an accident and he hurt himself. And so he was going to one of the prophets of Baal to get counsel and help. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah and he said, tell the king of Israel that he shall not leave his house, but he shall die there. Is there no God in Israel? Why is he going after this roadway of witchcraft? And the king heard about it, and he sent 50 men after Elijah. It's in chapter 1 here. He sent 50 men after Elijah to bring him by force before the king because he had prophesied this word. And when they came and stood before Elijah, Elijah said, if I'm a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you. And all 50 of them dropped dead by the fire of the Lord. And the king sent a second messenger with 50 men to come and get Elijah by force. And again, Elijah said, if I'm a man of God, I call down fire from heaven upon you. And all 50 of them fell dead and died. from the fire of the Lord. And the king sent a third messenger with another 50 men to Elijah. And this man got down on his knees and he said, "Please don't kill me, man of God." He said, "Please, the king's asked me, will you please come?" And so he says, "I will come." And he went to the king and he looked at the king and he says, "Why are you going in the roadway of witchcraft after the Baals, the god Baal, to find help because of your sickness? Because of this, you shall die and not leave this house." And so it happened that the king of Israel died and did not leave his house. And then chapter 2 starts. When the time came for Elijah to be taken by the Lord, Elisha was with him. And if you are focusing on the Lord, you are on this journey, you are doing what you know God has called you to do, you're like Elisha. You have not yet felt the great anointing in your life. You want more anointing. You want the power of God to flow through you, but you're still percolating on the counter, and it doesn't seem that even though you get poured out, that the flavor's in the coffee yet. And that's the way Elisha was. But he had learned step number 2. The first one, of course, was to find the secret place and live there in the presence of the Lord. And the second one was to find the focus for your journey. And don't be a jack of all trades. And in this case, he followed this man, Elijah, because God had called him to. I am on this journey myself. I used to be able to do all kinds of things and still can if I want to. But not only do I not want to, the Lord won't let me. I have to be focused because I want to be taken up in a fiery chariot when my time comes. This is the chariot of Israel. And I'm Jewish. But it's not for all Jews. It's only for those Jewish leaders and prophets who serve the Lord as they should. You can read about another appearance of the chariot about to take somebody in this same book when Elisha is ready to die. In chapter 13 and verse 14, we read the same chariots and the same horsemen come, the chariots of Israel. I'm in the middle of this journey myself, and I'm preaching to you out of my life today. Once Elijah knows the path, once Elisha knows the path, he will not leave it. I'm not leaving the call of God on my life. Somebody just asked me before this meeting, "Do you really enjoy what you're doing?" And of course, he was speaking rhetorically because he knows my answer already. Yes. He said, "Well, would you rather be a lawyer making a lot more money?" And I said, "The money would be handy, but I don't want to be a lawyer." Actually, when I was 14 years of age, I got saved and everything turned around. But just before then, I was determined that I would either become a lawyer or a surgeon, as a lot of Jewish men are. But then I got saved that year. And the Lord said, "No, you're going to be a preacher." And I was called to preach the gospel at 14 years of age and started a week later. And there's a call of God on your life. And the Holy Spirit's even speaking to you now. Once you find the path and the focus, you mustn't be deterred from it. So Elijah said to Elisha on the day that he was going to be taken, he said, "Stay here in Gilgal with the prophets of the Lord." There were 3 companies of the prophets in this part of Israel. There was a company of the prophets in Gilgal, a company of the prophets in Bethel, and a company of the prophets in Jericho. And it's as if Elijah was going to visit the 3 companies of the prophets before the Lord took him. But it was more than that. It was giving Elisha an exit ramp. Three times he said, you don't have to follow me. You stay here in Gilgal. And this man of God, Elisha, said, as sure as the Lord lives and you live, I will not leave you. God had put it in his spirit, and he was set on the call of God on his life. Nothing else was more important. And so they traveled away from the Jordan River 20 miles toward Jerusalem, where Bethel is. And then when they were in Bethel, Elijah said to Elisha, stay here in Bethel. I'm going down to Jericho. That's just where he had come from. Gilgal is right beside Jericho. They had just walked 20 miles uphill to go to Bethel. And when he was there, he met some of his other friends in the church. He met some who he related to from the company of the prophets. And Elijah said to him, you're having a good time here. These are your buddies. Why don't you stay here in Bethel? I'm going down to Jericho. But this man of God said, no, I'm sticking to the course. I'm pressing in after the things of God for my life. Where are you in all of this? And so the prophets, the company of the prophets, came to him in every place and said, Elisha, don't you know that the Lord's going to take your master from you today? They knew things of the Lord, but they hadn't taken the journey. And he said, yes, I know, be quiet. You know why he was telling them to be quiet? Because this was a moment of transition, and he had to hear the voice of the Lord. And there's sometimes you don't want to hear any other voice. You don't want somebody to bring confusion, somebody to take you off course, somebody to give you a good idea. Oh, God, please don't let somebody give me a good idea when I'm trying to follow the heart of God. So he said, be quiet. I know about that. And then he said to Elijah, as surely as I live and the Lord God lives, I will not leave you. And they went down to Jericho, and again they met with a company of the prophets in Jericho. And then, finally, Elijah said to Elisha, stay here now in Jericho. This is the third exit ramp I'm giving you. If you don't want to really push into the purposes of God for your life, you can get off anytime and just be a nice Christian. But if you're going to be a history maker with God, you've got to stick to this course, no matter what it costs you. There's nothing more important in your life if you're going to fulfill the call of God on your life. And he said to Elisha, stay here in Jericho. I have to go down to the Jordan. And he said, I will not leave you. And he went with him down to the Jordan. And it says, and 50 of the prophets from the company of the prophets in Jericho stood up on the hill. You can see the Jordan River from Jericho. It's maybe 2 or 3, maybe 4 miles at the very most to the Jordan River from Jericho. And Jericho's uphill, and the Jordan River is way down at the bottom. And the prophets are looking as Elisha and Elijah are standing in front of the river. And then Elijah takes his coat off, and he rolls it up kind of like a backsack. And he takes it now, and he hits the water, and the Bible says that the water moves to the right and to the left, and a pathway goes through the Jordan. This is the second time that the Bible talks about the Jordan being split. The children of Israel crossed over it on dry land after they crossed over the Red Sea on dry land. Came into the promised land across this Jordan. And now Elijah throws down his coat, the waters part, and he and Elisha cross over. Now, this is the next thing for you. There will come, this is point number 4, there will come a time when you must cross over. This is a big thing. You have to cross over. And you'll say, well, what is it that I have to cross over? Only God knows. I'm in the crossing over posture in my life right now. I am crossing over because I want the anointing of the Lord. You can hear some things from God with the company of the prophets, but you can't have history-making anointing unless you cross over. And you can't even begin to cross over unless you have been in the secret place, unless you have learned to focus on that which God has called you to focus on, and unless you have been absolutely committed to it and resisted the exit ramps. Then God will take you to that place. It was in the middle of the night God woke me up and gave me this message. This is a word for you today. I call you not to miss it. Then they crossed over. When they got to the other side, and only after they had crossed over, did Elijah turn and look at Elisha and say, what would you like from me? Has God said that to you yet? Once you cross over, he will ask you that. Before that time, you don't know what you want, and you don't know how to answer the question. And you can never get this question asked you unless you cross over to the other side. None of the prophets got to cross over because they didn't take the Elijah journey. But once you cross over, then the Holy Spirit, in this case, Elijah says, what would you ask of me? And Elisha says, without blinking an eye, he says, I want a double portion of your spirit. Listen, you don't want a double portion of some man's spirit unless God tells you that's what you want. God has to give you your question and your answer. But it has to do with the purpose of God and the anointing of God and the miracles of God and the call of God on your life. And he said, I want a double portion of your anointing. And then he said, you've asked a very difficult thing. But listen now, if you see me when I am taken, it will be given to you. But if you don't see me, you will not get it. Now, if he had told him that a year before, all the prophets would have crossed over. They would have gossiped the word, as was mentioned earlier. And all the prophets would have said, yeah, I want that double portion. A lot of people come and say, you know what, I want a double portion of the anointing of the Lord on my life. You can't have this double portion unless you take the journey. But if you take the journey, this isn't just for one man. This is the spirit of Elijah that Jesus said is now in the world. And he says, all in the kingdom of God who will take hold of that kingdom will take it by force and win it as a prize. And he says it started here with John the Baptist, who, if you have ears to hear, is that spirit of Elijah who was to come. And then he says, all of you who have ears to hear, let them hear. You see, for the end time purposes of God, the Lord is not looking for one Elijah or one Elisha. He's looking for thousands of Elijahs and thousands of Elishas. And I want to ask you, do you understand the reason for this message today? It's because there's a call of God on your life, because the Lord wants you, woman of God. The Lord wants you, man of God, to take the Elijah journey. Because an anointing's coming on the earth. An anointing that will not happen by angels alone.
nor will it happen by the moving of the Holy Spirit alone. It will happen by the blood-washed saints of the living God who have taken the Elijah journey. That's why you're hearing this message today. When they got to the other side, what do you want from me? I want a double portion of your spirit. You've asked a hard thing, but if you see me when I am taken, it will be yours. And suddenly, while they were talking, a chariot of fire comes riding along, pulled by a fiery horse and ridden by a fiery angelic horseman. It's the angel and the chariot and the horse of Israel. And it separates the two. It's aggressive. It comes riding in. It's a heavenly escort for Elijah. And Elijah gets on the chariot, and a tornado whips the whole thing up and carries the fiery chariot, horseman and horse, with Elijah off into the heavens. And it says, and Elijah's coat falls. Elisha rips his clothes. He's in grief right now. Do you understand that when there's a man of God who has such anointing and such miracles, whom God is using on the earth like that, when the Lord takes him, it's like there's a void gone. There's something missing. Will we ever see a miracle like that again? I faced it a number of times in my life when I knew great men of God, some of them very close to me, who the Lord took. Grief went into my heart. And I thought, oh God, where are the men of God? Where are the women of God who have the power and the anointing of heaven in their bones? Are they all being taken off the planet? Some people say, you don't need to go and get prayer from somebody. God is everywhere. And if anybody prays, God will answer them. Well, that's true, and it's not true. There are people who have taken the Elijah journey, and there's an anointing on their lives that has authority and power in it that you will not find in every saint and believer. Every believer is called to this journey. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out demons, heal the sick. But that doesn't mean that every believer's doing it. And you can't just do it. You've got to take the journey. Now, the Bible says that Elisha picked up the coat that had fallen. You know, nothing falls from these chariots. When the chariot comes, they don't leave anything behind by mistake. They're not in such a rush that something just kind of falls off the edge. This is the purpose of the Lord. The very mantle that he was first touched with at his calling, the very first prophetic sound that came to him, is now being fulfilled because he took the journey. And he picks up the coat. And he goes to the river. And he doesn't do things exactly the same as Elijah, because we're not called to be copycats. The Bible doesn't say he rolls it up into a nice bedroll. It just says he takes the coat and throws it on the water and says, where is the God of Elijah? And the waters part to the right and to the left, and he walks over on dry land. And the prophets up on the hillside in Jericho, who are watching, say, oh my goodness, the spirit of Elijah is now on Elisha. The fifth part of this message for you is that when you get the anointing, you have to walk in it and wield it. You have to use it for the glory of God. He goes to Jericho, first place, which is just a couple of miles away. And he starts to live there for a short space of time. This is the city that was cursed by God. Everything in the city of Jericho is cursed. The water is poisonous and bad. It's foul. And the leaders of the city of Jericho come to Elisha and say, "Can you help us? Our water is bad." And he takes some salt and throws it into the water and prophesies and says, "From this day, this water, this well shall give pure water. It will be healed and cause your crops to be productive." And he undoes some of the curse over Jericho. Because the Spirit of the Lord, he is already changing history. This is just the beginning of his ministry. And he starts to go from there up to Bethel, probably to say hi to the other prophets. And on his way, a schoolyard full of teenagers who have heard their parents talking and they have watched some of the more negative news programs on TV, and they say, they start to jeer him and mock him, and they say, "Who do you think you are? Go on up, oh bald head." Maybe they're kind of saying, "You're getting old too, aren't you? Why don't you go up in a chariot of fire?" As if that really happened. "Go on up, oh bald head." Twice we find that they say that to him. And just like in chapter 1, where Elijah said, "If I am a man of God, to you 50 servants of the king, let fire from heaven come down upon you." And it happened twice, and they were consumed. And now Elisha turns and looks at these young teenagers and curses them. And immediately two big bears come out of the forest, and the bears maul 42 teenagers. And everybody goes, "Whoa, don't touch the Lord's anointed." Now listen, this is very serious business. If there is somebody that you know who the anointing of the Lord is on, be very careful how you treat them and how you handle them. If somebody has taken the Elijah journey, God will defend them. God will be their strong tower and their shield. They have special angelic anointing with them. And what they do is history making. The Lord God Almighty is looking for history makers. And you can't make history unless you go on this journey called the Elijah journey. The last part of the last verse of this chapter says, "And Elisha went to Mount Carmel." You know what happened there? That's where his predecessor Elijah destroyed the prophets of Baal. It says he went to Mount Carmel, and then he went to Samaria. And that's the last place where Elijah stood against witchcraft and the prophets of Baal, because the king was calling upon them for help. And immediately Elisha goes to these very places where the attacks on the purposes of God take place. He's moving in the assignments of heaven for his life. Now I'm finished, but you're not. And the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you through this message today. It doesn't matter what your age is. You can be 12 years of age and God will call you for his purpose. You can be 80 2 years of age, and God will call you for his purpose. Moses didn't start leading the children of Israel until he was 80 years of age. And it's never too late to begin the Elijah journey. Whatever's rough in your life, I feel for you. And if we can do anything to make your journey in the natural easier or better, we'd like to stand with you as a church and help you. But I'm calling you to something that is otherworldly. It's not about your job. It's not about your family. It's not about your house. It's not about your health. It's not about anything else except the call of God on your life. But I promise you this: seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Now, the Holy Spirit's already spoken to you today. You know where you are on the journey. God will take every one of you. He doesn't leave anyone behind who wants to go. You can just be one of the herd with the company of the prophets and be nice, a nice Christian. Or you can say, Lord, I want to go on the Elijah journey. Now, would you bow your heads where you are right now? I'm going to lead you in a prayer of dedication unto the Lord. And then I want to pray over you for the call of God on your life. A little bit later, I'm going to be over here with some of the prayer team. If you would like prayer, please come over here and receive that prayer. If you say, yes, this word was for me today, then I want to lead you in a prayer of dedication. I've taken you by the hand and showed you a little bit of the journey you have to take. I want to help equip you for this journey. It's for you. Don't miss it. Would you pray this prayer of dedication? Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for saving me and for giving me your Holy Spirit. Forgive me, Lord, for putting such focus on secondary things. Today, I commit myself to you for the work of the ministry, for the call of God to be a history maker with the plans of heaven. I ask you to take me now on the Elijah journey. Lord, I ask you to lead me until I come to the place where I can cross over and answer the word of the Lord and receive your anointing. Come, Holy Spirit, I welcome you with all of your power and all of your grace and all of your goodness. I open my heart. Every part of my life, I open to you for your glory and for your purpose in my life. I pray this now in faith, in Jesus' name. Now just open your hands in front of you and let me pray for you. Lord, I thank you for each person here, every boy and girl, every mom and dad, every grandparent who's here. Lord, I ask now for the moving of the Holy Spirit at a whole new level. Lord, at a deeper way, with more power and more revelation and more angelic visitations and more dreams from heaven, more prophetic words. Lord, we don't need to be copycats. We need to be originals, made in heaven, set on course to partner with you for your agenda and mandate on the earth. We say, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth, in my life, in my family, in my community, as you have in heaven. And now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I come into agreement with heaven's assignments for the purposes of God, for the people who are hearing this message. Let the power of God come. Let the purposes of God come. Let the plans of God come. We receive them in Jesus' name. Amen.
If after hearing this message, you would like prayer or further information about our ministry, email Dr. Peter Wins at winsusa@comporium.net. That's winsusa@comporium.net. For additional teaching and other CMM resources, visit our websites at peterwins.org or unexpectedfire.com. Your financial contributions help this ministry continue. Your support is greatly appreciated. For tax receipts, send donations to Christians for Messiah Ministries, P.O. Box 36324, Rock Hill, South Carolina, 29732. We hope that you have enjoyed this powerful teaching by Dr. Peter Wins. We trust that it has taught you in the ways of the Lord, that it has helped to train you to be a better disciple, and that because of this teaching, you will receive more of God's blessings and favor on your life. From all of us here at CMM to all of you who are listening, we extend God's richest blessings.